Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Suryoday Small Finance Bank Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Divya Purohit from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Rutuja. I welcome you all to Suryoday Small Finance Bank results call. Today we have with us from the management, Mr. Bhaskar Babu Ramachandran, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Narayan Rao, Chief Services Officer, Mr. Bhavin Damania, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Leena Devadiga, Head FP&A, and Ms. Radhika Gavde, Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Bhaskar Babu for his initial comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY22 earnings call. I hope that all of you and your loved ones are safe and well. The COVID-19 cases have declined significantly on the back of increased vaccinations across the country, and we have crossed the milestone of 100 crore vaccination doses. We'd like to express our gratitude to all the health workers and essential service providers for the tireless efforts in the pandemic recovery. I would also like to thank our employees especially for the dedication to our customers during these trying times. We are pleased to report that almost all our employees have now received at least one dose of the vaccine. The underlying economic activity has gained momentum due to the unlocking of almost all the states, improved customer sentiments, and the festive season. Our bank disbursed 1,067 crores in Q2 FY22 as against 360 crores in the last comparable quarter. We had disbursement of 362 crores also in the month of October, which indicates business recovery in all the sectors we operate. The collection efficiency stood at 83% in October 2021. I hope you all have received our investor presentation and had the chance to go through it before the call. I will just give a brief about our performance for the quarter and also for the half year ended September 30th, 2021. On our business performance, our bank disbursed 1,067 crores in Q2 FY22 compared to 360 crores during Q1 FY22, primarily due to business recovery post second wave of COVID-19. Disbursements for the month of October was rupees 359 crores. On the collections front, similar impact was seen. Collection efficiency on one EMI adjusted basis had improved to 83.3% for the month of September 2021 as compared to 70% for the month of June 2021. Overall collection efficiency in the month of September was 108% as against June 2021, which was 89.3%. Our gross advances grew 20.6% year on year to 4,470 crores as on 30th September 2021. As at the end of September, inclusive finance comprises of 68.3% of the asset book, while affordable home loans, commercial vehicle loans and secured business loans comprise of 8.2%, 7.7% and 4% respectively. As market environment improves, we will focus on growing our book in a stable and sustainable manner across product portfolio and geographies. On the deposits and borrowings, our deposits were stable at 3,129 crores as on September 2021. Retail deposits stood at 87.9% of the total deposit as of September 30th from 85.8% as on 30th of June 2020. The balance comprises of bulk deposits. Furthermore, majority of our bulk deposits are non-callable in nature. As on 30th September 2021, 97% of our bulk deposits are non-callable in nature. Our CASA improved to 18.5% as of 30th September compared to 16.2% as of 30th June 2021, showing steady improvement in line with our strategy. Our borrowings as on end September form 26% of our total liabilities, majority of which, approximately 68%, was from refinancing institutions like SIDBI and NABARD. Our total number of branches stood at 560 as on 30th September 2021 compared to 555 as of June 30th, 2021. The bank has 16.4 lakh customers as on 30th September, of which total asset customers were 14.3 lakhs and total liability customers were 7.5 lakhs. or GNPA as of 30th of September 2021 is 10.2% compared to the GNPA of 9.5% as of 30th June 2021. Net NPA was stable at 4.5% as of 30th September. Provision coverage as of 30th September was 71%. Our standard asset restructuring book stands at 14% at the end of 30th September, including restructuring done in the current quarter. The collections are improving across the states, which indicate reduction in delinquencies going ahead. PAR 90 plus portfolio as of September 2021 remained flat at 6.4%. 68.3% of our delinquent customers are paying to us over the 2 months in August and September. The bank carried out restructuring exercise during the quarter. Our capital adequacy ratio continues to be strong at 45.9% compared to 52.1% as on 30th June 2021. Tier 1 comprises of 41.8% and Tier 2 comprises of 4.1% of our capital adequacy. On the earnings side, net interest income increased by 19.2% quarter-on-quarter to 147.2 crores in Q2 and net total income increased by 24.1% to 180.6 crores. Our NIM increased to 9.1% during the quarter compared to 7.6% for the quarter Q2 of FY21. Cost of funds reduced to 7.1% for the quarter compared to 7.4% in Q1 of FY22. Cost to income during the same period moderated to 54.2% compared to 63.5% in Q1 FY22, which was primarily due to rise in income coupled with lower cost of borrowing. Our company incurred a loss for the quarter 30th September of rupees 1.9 crores against a loss of 47.7 crores in Q1. Uncertainty in behavior of customers has led to volatility in provisioning during the current financial year, and we believe that the clarity has started emerging in terms of collection efficiency and business growth. Our endeavor is to be prudent in recognizing stress upfront in the current financial year and return to profitability meaningfully in the next financial year, though quarterly volatility will continue for a few more quarters. We envisaged to grow AUM by 25-30% in the current financial year and likely to continue the same in the next financial year. Just to summarize, at Suryoday we offer a variety of asset and liability products and services designed for inclusive finance and general banking customers. Our endeavor is to bring the best in banking solutions to the underbanked and the unbanked sections of the society. We believe in the new age world of technology where we have leveraged the use of technology across all aspects of our operations. In particular, we use digital technology for customer acquisition and also for customer lifecycle management. Our employees across use tablets to service customers in the unbanked and underbanked segments, which we believe has led to greater customer convenience and improved operational efficiency and controls. We also have a robust back-end operating system supported by our CBS and document management system. Going forward, we will continue to focus on customer acquisition organically and cross-sell different products, growing market share through increasing our presence in the existing geographies and expanding business through digital lending. Thank you, everyone, and we can now open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants to ask a question, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Deepak Agarwal from Axis Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Deepak, you are.
Yeah. Wanted to understand your views. So now I think restructuring book all put together is about 17.7% for us. Of which standard is 14. So in a way, 14 is the standard restructuring book. So in your view, how should you look, how much of that essentially slips and how much of that is likely to get upgraded in the next couple of quarters, considering obviously the economy is opening up and things seem to be coming back. So any views there?
Deepak, we have done restructuring specifically for customers who have been exhibiting behavior of payment and who have been touched with us. So that constitutes around 14% remaining, as you mentioned, is part of the GNPA book. Approximately around 60% of our restructured book are paying customers if you consider 2 months, which means that they are not necessarily paying month after month. They pay in 1 month and probably not pay the second month. Considering only the August and September figure, the percentage of customer paying out of the restructured book is 60%. So technically 40% is what we'll have to really focus in terms of getting back into the paying fold. The difference in inclusive finance, as you will obviously know very well, is that they are short-term loans and for short values. So as long as the customer is in the paying hold, at best, the loan closure gets delayed by a couple of months, maybe 3 months, 6 months, and sometimes as much as even 9 months. And the restructuring we have done has to be differentiated in the sense they are not restructured loans with a long moratorium or holiday period. They are kind of, you know, with a moratorium maximum of around 3 to 4 months, and which means as in the month of October, majority of our restructured customers have their installment falling due, which means that the measure which we are doing 60% is on almost the entire restructured pool and not only of the customers whose installment has fallen due, because majority of the customer installment have fallen due in the month of October. So we have to go mathematically, 40% of the restructured book is what is technically under stress, and we have to pull the track.
And so how much provision we carry against the restructured book, sir?
41. We carry near to 16% of the provisioning at this point in time. And I'm talking about the overall restructured book of 793 crores. Otherwise, on the standard book, we carry approximately 10%.
Standard 10% of the book. So essentially, the way to see is 40% of the standard, right, out of the 14%. Versus that, it would look more like...
So we have a standard book, yeah. We have a standard book which is restructured of 625 crores. Till date, this is outstanding, including what we did in March and June put together. Against that, we hold nearly 10%, approximately 10% of the provisioning. And if you do 40% of that, then roughly around 250 crores would be under stress. Against that, we are holding nearly 65 crores sort of a provision.
Got it. And, Bhaskar, in your views, obviously, you did guide that we are looking to do 25 to 30% for this year as well as next year. So, is it fair to say that in terms of the pain and all, it's largely through and things seem to be substantially improving the ground on the ground, and hence our confidence to grow much faster from this?
So what Deepak would is COVID 1 and 2 of our approximately 13 lakh customers who were there as on 31st of March 2020, around closer to 6 lakh customers have exhibited a good behavior and continue to be with us is around 4 lakh customers. So what we are growing is in terms of growing on the back of very good, excellent customers who have passed through both COVID 1 and 2 and exhibiting good behavior, as well as acquiring customers who maintain a good track record in the market. And since early on, we recognized what it would be and which was where our GNPA was a little higher than probably what comparables were. So we kind of started focusing on these customers as we identified the problem in terms of getting them back without giving long holiday period, which only kind of, you know, pushes the problem down without even us getting an opportunity to recognize it. So on that basis, we started building up. We are not getting very aggressive, but purely on well-chosen customer base, what we've grown is at approximately 250 to 275 crores is what we are disbursing from on the inclusive finance segment. Rest of the segment like affordable home loan, and we also introduced micro home loan, which is in the segment of 5 to 10 lakhs in our existing customer segments, not necessarily our existing customer base, which is a very open kind of market. Because even the affordable home loan companies have inched up their ticket sizes to 10 to 11 lakhs. We are kind of, you know, growing pretty well on that, and the intent to grow from a current 25 crores per month run rate there in the product to probably closer to around 50 crores run rate by end of March.
Okay.
These are long tenor products, and hence the runoffs are lower. So even though our disbursements currently constitute 80% in terms of inclusive finance, they are short tenor products. And the rest of the 20% of the products are long-term product, and hence the adjustment in terms of the AUM is tilting favorably towards the non-microfinance assets slowly but steadily.
Got it. And so how should we look at credit cost from here? So obviously, last couple of quarters, we have taken a lot of provisions, and in a way, net NPA has been closer to that 4%. So your thought there in terms of do you want to take it down to more like 1-2% in next couple of quarters in terms of the net NPA, or you think a lot of this will get recovered and hence from here credit cost should start normalizing second?
As of now, the way we are seeing it is that, which is what internally and as well as you are kind of expressing, is that the next 3 to 4 quarters, at least three quarters, would be where we started generating the PPOP profit of around closer to 24 crores in the last quarter, and back on the disbursements momentum that we see, as it kind of grows to 30-35 crores, that would be the cushion for absorbing all the provisioning that we need to do, and that would continue for the next 2 to 3 quarters. And we clearly see an enterprise profit level at the for FY23, starting probably towards Q3 and Q4. To all the absorption that we need to do, probably will happen over the next 3 quarters.
So if my understanding is correct, so you are saying for next 3 quarters still the credit cost will remain high, but not as high as what we are seeing Q1Q, right?
Yes, it will be. That's why we also said in our description that it will be volatile, and we are recognizing that volatility, but however, the volatility will not exceed the PPOP broadly.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question now. The next question is from the line of Harshvardhan Agrawal from IDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to loop back on the earlier question wherein you said that 60% of the morat book, the restructured book has come for repayment in October. So if you can share some repayment trends in that book?
No, Harsh, what you're saying is that almost 90% of the book has come for payment. We're talking about 60% of that 90% making payment.
The one that does not have
the instrument kicking is less than 10%.
Okay, got it. So that 10% would probably also be coming up for repayments in the month of November or December. Is that
That's
correct?
That's right.
Okay, sure. And sir, one last thing. I was calculating the repayments number based on the AUM and the disbursement data that you have given for our inclusive finance book. So on that basis, the repayment number for inclusive finance seems to be hovering at 480-500 crores for the last 2 quarters, both in 1Q and 2Q. Now, considering that 2Q, the economy was open up, there was hardly any lockdowns in 2Q. So why is that number too low for us? Just at the level of 1Q, it's...
So if I understand your question correctly, you're saying the repayment, you are deriving from the collection efficiency, the repayment amount for the inclusive finance customers, right?
Right. I'm taking the AUM and the disbursement number and balancing it to calculate the repayments number.
Okay. See, maybe I will try to answer in a different way. Maybe if that answers your question. So overall collection efficiency, when you include the areas, etc., is continue to be greater than 100% in the month of the October as well, in the month of the September as well. And so that means the runoffs are higher compared to the billing, which you generate during the particular period. And what we publish as a one EMI is 83%, which is related to only, if I restrict the billing to the only one EMI, then it will be lower. So when you add up the disbursements and the AUM, the runoffs will be in fact higher because we are getting the arrears even paid during the current month. It cannot be lower.
Okay, sir. Maybe I'll just check my calculations.
At a billing level, if you look at it, our billing per month has been continuously going up. So because there is no holiday period given and a long moratorium and there is no adjustment in the EMI amount, even on a holiday period of 3 months and 4 months, the installment on the 5th month becomes the same as it was earlier. So our billing, overall gross billing month on month on the increasing AUM continues to be higher. So 83% of what would have been, say, 6 months back, and this 83% now, the amount which you are collecting from the customer is much higher or proportionately higher to the AUM.
Right. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Isha Savla from Arya Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Can you throw some light on our disbursements? Like, how do you see it panning out over the coming quarters? And is the demand on track?
Yeah. So currently we are kind of, our disbursement run rate is around 360 crores consistently for what we saw in Q2 as well as we saw in October. Likely to kind of, you know, increase during November, December marginally. But what we are really planning is around 375 to 400 crores of disbursement for the month from starting from November through March.
Okay, sir. So are we seeing like a demand back on track?
There is an increase in demand, but we are kind of still continue to be reasonably prudent in terms of we don't kind of, our overall disbursement per customer or the average outstanding per customer continues to be much lower than the overall average industry figures, and we will continue to play out on this strategy. So, and what we are acquiring now is around approximately closer to around, we do closer to 90,000 to 100,000 disbursements per month in inclusive finance, of which around 40,000 loans are to new to bank customers and 60,000 to our good existing customers. So that constitutes around 90,000 to 1 lakh, and we expect the trend to continue and little improving month on month basis.
Okay, so good to know that. And how are the collections happening currently?
We have disclosed whatever figures we have given, 83, but specifically in terms of the new funding, which we called as post-COVID funding, and specifically in the last 1 year, have kind of exhibiting a much better performance than the overall portfolio.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Madhu Dev from Alta Vista Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So I just want some, you know, some numbers for clarity. See, you have a GNPA of a little over 10.2% or something of that sort. And then you have a standard restructuring portfolio of 14%. So in all ballpark, this is about 24% of the book. So against this book, what is the total provision that you are carrying?
Yeah. So overall, we are carrying a provision of roughly 350 crores in NPA plus restructured book put together. And this is, I'm referring to the standard restructured book, because the NPA restructure is already a part of, yeah.
Right. So NPA plus standard restructured, which is 24%, against that you are carrying a 350 crore provision, right?
Correct. Roughly around, you can say 35% of the both portfolio put together, we are carrying the provisions.
Okay. And given the collection trend and given what you are hearing from the ground, from your collection team, what kind of an incremental provision that you would be required to make on this portfolio?
So overall, 60% of our 14% of the customers are paying customers at this point of time, and we are kind of seeing a sustained increase in that percentage between the customers who started paying. So we have to mathematically take it around 40% of our 14% book, which is around closer to 5%. Is kind of, you know, technically on a high stress basis may enter provisioning.
That would require provisioning. Okay.
Yes.
And on the GNPA book, where you have a partial provisioning, what is your sense on the recovery? You need to step up provisioning there?
So again, another, we have already provided for 50%, and around closer to 40% of the book is paying. So don't really think we need to really provide for anything substantially more on the GNPA book. And while on the GNPA, it's 10.2%, the percentage of customers who are in 90 plus, so which means that they became NPA, GNPA, but not in 90 plus at this point of time, is approximately 40% of our GNPA customers. So if you add these two, that is the percentage of customers who are paying out of the 10.2, as well as the 4% of the customers who already come below the 90 plus, so they continue to be in GNPA as they touched 90 and have not come back to current date.
Right.
So it may not really require a substantially larger provisioning in the GNPA book. The provisioning that will be required on a high stress analysis basis would be 40% of the 14% book, which is approximately 5%.
Okay. that that actually clarifies this provisioning thing. In that case, I mean, are you worried about incremental slippage? Because you made a tacit mention that credit costs would continue to remain pretty elevated. So do you still see a lot of slippages happening from your portfolio?
No, we are not really seeing slippages. There could be recovery back into it. And what we said is not elevated provisions. We said our PPOP currently is around 80 crores. Assuming that even if it continues as though there will be an increased income, so that will take another 2 quarters, max 3 quarters to cover up the entire thing on assumption that they continue to be as stressed as they are.
Okay. And my last question is, what is a normalized credit cost for your business? Because, you know, you have a shorter listing history. You're not too familiar with your normalized operations. So just wanted to get a sense of what, according to you, is a normalized credit cost.
Having seen cycles in terms of demon and thereafter COVID, which is kind of an extreme stress event, I think we'll have to put a real prudent number to kind of, you know, for the kind of portfolio that we have in some 70% inclusive and 30 would be, I think, meaningful would be to think of a credit cost of around 2.5 to 3% on a sustained, on a continual basis. In the years that it doesn't really have that kind of an impact at all, you'll have to kind of, you know, add up to the provisions and continue to build that buffer. And in both these instances, we really see, and one was a 5% impact event. This one seems to be a 10 to 15% impact event. And we're kind of, you know, considering this 20% happened in 4 years, 5 years' time, around 4% seems to be extreme if ever, God forbid, a COVID kind of an event were to get repeated in 4 years' time. Hence, I think a 2 to 3% credit cost would be meaningful and conservative on the person kind of portfolio proposition we have at this point of time.
So even if, suppose, the delinquency is low, you would like to create that kind of a buffer even in a good year, and the credit costs would continue to be around that ballpark figure just for future contingency is what you're trying to say, right?
That's a clear learning. I think, you know, around 2.5 to 3% is what we'll have to maintain, irrespective of the actual credit cost remaining even less than, say, 1%.
Got it. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question now. The next question is from the line of Nidhi K from MK Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My question is that our NPA numbers, we appear to be a bit on the higher side. I just want to understand if there are any specific steps that we are taking to bring them down.
I'll kind of request Bhavan to add a little more. But the fact is that I think, as you would have seen, that, you know, we recognize this early on itself, kind of, you know, starting from March and then, you know, continue to kind of, you know, do it. So while overall the figures out of the credit bureau do really indicate the 30-plus portfolio all the way, including 180-plus, happens to be around closer to 25 to 30%. So the way we recognize that banks are expected to do is, in terms of one account becomes and our customer becomes an NPA, till it comes back to current, even if the customer starts making the payment month-on-month basis, they'll continue to be counted as GNPA customer, and hence it will be calculated as a percentage. The best way to really look at it is that our 90 plus is 6.5% and our GNPA is 10.2%, which means 4% of this GNPA has already paid and come below 90% and 90 plus, but however continues to be tagged as GNPA as the way of recognizing the GNPA in the banking system. And Bhavan, you want to?
No, just to add, I think on a comparison basis, even to the peers, I think few of the players have also declared, suddenly rather shown a spike into the gross NPA from less than 5% to more than 10% in the current quarter. And while, as Bhaskar mentioned, it's always, we have already declared that from the December quarter onwards, even though it's a pro forma NPA of more than 9%. So our ratio has remained even in the range of 9.5 to 10.2% in the last 3 quarters, which I think most of the other players have started recognizing into the, mainly into the Q2.
Helpful. I have one more question. I just want to understand what is the strategy going forward in terms of diversifying the loan book, and where do we see our inclusive finance percentage as a percentage of overall book for 3 years down the line?
As mentioned, in terms of JLG, while the disbursement continues to be 75%-80%, because they are short-term products and the rest of the other products, specifically in terms of affordable home loan and secured business loans, secured against property business loans, they are long tenors, minimum tenor of around 7-10 years. So the portfolio composition purely on this disbursement basis would kind of tilt closer to around 55-45 in a year to 15 months' time. So around 50-50 is what it is likely to kind of come to probably in 18-24 months. JLG or inclusive finance, done well, except for this extreme event like this, is, as I explained in the previous question, is around 2-3% normalized basis credit cost if we can do it and structure it. That's the kind of business. But for 3 years in a row, it can be less than one, and probably one-off event based on history, it could be higher. But on a normalized basis, annual, it will be around 2-3%. And what this pandemic has really also has given us data is in terms of the good customers who kind of moved both through the COVID one, two, continue to be current, have paid, and have not even taken a loan either from us or from the market. That constitutes around 60% of the portfolio that we have. For instance, we don't have 3 lakh of our 13 lakh customers we had as of 31st March who have repaid in full and have moved on. So our, based on our own analysis and analytics, we're saying that, no, hey, why do we really lose our good customers who have been with us? And for various reasons, either we have not got in touch with them or they have not got in touch, because the focus in the last 18 months shifted more in terms of getting in touch with the customer to collect rather than to do business. So if you put all of those activities together, it's a business which will be profitable, done meaningfully. But the learning out of that is that get to understand the customer far more deeper than understanding them only by the past repayment track record and building a higher loan over and above that. So that segmentation and kind of capturing the profile is what we are really focusing on. And that also becomes now our segment for affordable home loan, which is between 5 to 10 lakhs, small ticket secured business loan, while you don't have a small ticket secured business loan yet. So this is a potential customer segment for these two products. So you don't really need to go out and look for those customers for affordable home loan or small ticket secured business loan. But that requires an intensity of looking at the customer far more deeper than we have done in the past.
Thank you, sir. If I have any further questions, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Franklin Moraes from Equentis Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So what is our write-off policy?
Okay, yeah. So we don't have a specific policy in a way. Just for information, for the last nearly more than 2 years, in fact, now we have been doing only technical write-offs rather than the actual write-off. That means the field team still see the customers into their the due sheet every month. We don't, as I said, we don't have a specific policy. What we do is we go by the our internal analysis where the customers behave based on the customer, whether the customers are paying or not, and then we take a call whether to write off the customer. So we don't have any specific policy, unlike other entities where 90 plus, 180 plus are being written off. We take a call only if the customer's prepayment behavior has completely gone divergent or not paying in a specific period of time, then only do we write off. So in current quarter, we have not done any kind of a write off. In last quarter, we used to do the write-offs, again, based on the non-payment behavior, repayment behavior of the customers.
But on a historical basis, if we see the write-offs which are being done, what would be the average tenure before which, we actually write off the loan?
In case of natural calamities, if they are not paid for 4 consecutive months as well, we have taken write-off in terms of Odisha or Tamil Nadu, where you clearly not, where the customer has not made a payment and not in touch, and kind of it has been a huge natural calamity. But broadly, I think we have to, providing for fully is more important, because once written off, it also goes off the radar in terms of collections. So it kind of reduces your GNPA per se, but what it kind of does is that it has got collateral damage in terms of customer going out of the radar from a collection point of view. Our focus in terms of adequate provisioning rather than rushing into a write-off the loans.
Sir, on the restructured book, what would be the moratorium being offered?
Max 3 months, and for instance, 90% of the quarter we did restructuring in the last quarter. The installments have commenced either in October or latest in November.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the recoverability from these around 25%. In your assessment, you know, what percentage of this could actually be recovered in the next, you know, say about 6 months' time?
60% are paying customers in the 14%. Okay. And as far as the GNPA is concerned, 10% of the customers, 4% are already paying and are already sub 90 plus, and around 12 to 35% of the customers are paying in this. So as we kind of explained earlier, the max stress I would really like to compute is in terms of 40% of the 14% book, which is around 5 to 6%.
So in terms of your advances, what would be the growth outlook there?
We are guided around, look, this year we are likely to end up anywhere between 25 to 30%. As you would see, already we are at 20% in terms of year-on-year growth. Likely at the current run rate, as we are clocking at this point of time, we'll end up with around little higher than 25. We see the same momentum continuing as is for the next year as well as we speak now. If things become much better and if our momentum in the non-inclusive finance kind of takes up, then probably the growth rates may be marginally more higher than even 30% for next year. This year anywhere between 25 to 30.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one now to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Riya Verma from Purple Box Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. Firstly, what are our plans in expanding our branch network? Are we going to venture into new geographies? And are we looking to reduce concentration in the states of Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu? And the second was, in terms of our collection efficiency, are we seeing any stress in terms of COVID-19? And are we seeing any intent issue in non-repayment?
In terms of our geographical presence, we have around 560 branches, many of them which are close to 70 branches which we opened during the last 1 year have not been fully activated till about a quarter back. So the focus is in terms of, you know, growing this more intensely. The new states which we entered already are Rajasthan and a little deepening into Uttar Pradesh and even Karnataka. We don't have a large presence in Karnataka, though we have been present there for more than 8 years. So the intent is to really grow deeper into the states before we really look at any new geographical state at this point of time for our asset business. For a liability business, we may open a few branches in Telangana and Andhra Pradesh where we don't have any presence at all meaningfully now, except for 2 branches in Hyderabad for deposit-focused branches. So that's what our expansion strategy would be. In terms of our reducing the concentration in Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, we may not grow that substantially, but Maharashtra, having seen 2 hits, and having stabilized, I probably think that it is a market where if you know the depth of the market, you can actually grow meaningfully there rather than kind of trying to reduce it because of the experience of the last 2 events.
Okay, sir. In terms of our collection efficiency, sir?
Yes. Can you expand on the question?
Are we still seeing any intent in non-repayment, intent issue? And is there any COVID-19 related stress?
I think what we have seen, obviously it happens in every event, is that the circumstantial default, part of that gets converted into intention at a point of time, either due to not being intensely covering the customer on a continuous basis because they haven't paid for a month or 2 or 3. So we are not seeing any deterioration in the intent at all. We are seeing a pullback. And how intense the pullback would be, probably will be clearer in the next 3 months.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. That is helpful.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for participating in our investor call, and we'll continue to kind of keep you updated. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.